to your second point, though, what do you do, though, in patients with locally advanced disease who, you know, are on durvalumab and then suddenly they relapse? And so I think that raises a number of questions. First, I don't think you'd have a uniform consensus of even would you start the durvalumab to begin with in those patients. I think if you look at the PACIFIC data that formed the basis for using durvalumab, the subgroup there was EGFR. It wasn't a huge subgroup. Of course, we don't have ALK patients in there, and the other alterations really weren't included. If you look at the hazard ratio, it wasn't nearly as robust of a benefit with durvalumab and across UNITY. So for many of us, myself included, you know, it's a conversation with patients and saying, you know, these drugs don't really improve outcomes in the advanced setting. In the locally advanced setting, there is a concern for toxicity. We may not be improving outcomes. And then, of course, there's that concern of if you're on the durvalumab and relapse and then have to start a TKI, all of us have a lot of concern there. So if someone was already on durvalumab, say that they had made the decision to start durvalumab and then they relapsed, for that type of patient, what I might do is I might do some intervening chemotherapy to buy me a little time, depending on how they are clinically, to buy me a little time off of the durvalumab, get a couple half-lives out of the way, and then add TKI. I think it would depend on the clinical situation.
Jeff, you had a comment?
The other approach you could use is use some intervening erlotinib, which maybe doesn't interact with durvalumab in the same way as osimertinib, or the approach I use is to try to stop the immunotherapy earlier. So if for whatever reason you've started chemo pembro and then a mutation result comes back, say, okay, stop the pembro, continue the chemo for, let's say, 4 cycles, get a little time in there, and then add in the TKI as a maintenance where it's still going to be very effective. Or I just had a patient who was a smoker with EGFR high TMB, and I ended up using durvalumab. I don't often do it for EGFR patients, but this patient seemed to fit. I gave him a few cycles. He had a little toxicity, and I was like, you know what? This isn't worth it. I was like, 2 cycles is fine for you. The toxicity is not worth it in an EGFR patient where the benefit's not much, right? So maybe you give a shorter duration of durvalumab, but maybe you don't need the full year. And that way, when the time comes that they do relapse, you have some of that time before you need to switch over to therapy.
So let me ask you something just to follow up on that. And Heather, maybe you can comment on that. What about other TKIs? For example, we keep hearing from the gynecologist that lenvatinib, pembro is a real problem. And I'm like, well, why? Do you think that there might be something with other TKIs like that, Heather?
Yes, I think that every time you're adding a TKI with a checkpoint inhibitor, there's certainly risk of additive toxicity, and we don't always get to predict what it's going to be. I'm going to follow up on what Jeff was saying. For patients who have been on durvalumab, say after concurrent chemoradiation, they have EGFR. If they then progress and you want to start osimertinib, we all learned from Tatton about that high risk of pneumonitis, and we have a lot of caution. But with erlotinib, maybe not so toxic. With the afatinib, maybe not so toxic. So why does that pair reasonably well when osimertinib doesn't? And then when we look at the ALK inhibitors, some have had horrible combination regimen toxicities with hepatitis as well as others, and sometimes it's also pneumonitis. The patterns aren't that predictable. And as we think about lenvatinib, which we haven't used much, but we are now starting to explore trials of VEGF multi-targeted TKIs plus immune therapy in lung cancer, I think we have to be on guard. The checkpoint inhibitors alone can cause itises of every organ. I always warn my patients about that. And as we add in other agents, you're going to potentially lead to immune recognition of normal tissue. And there are patterns that emerge, but you can't always predict what's going to happen. So anytime we're pairing things, we need to be on guard. And so I haven't heard that data about the lenvatinib, but I'm not surprised at all. I think we're going to be seeing more and more of that and learning which TKIs can play well with immune therapy and which ones can't.